the king. She didn't know how much the king loved her. She didn't know how much the king adored her. She didn't know how much that he was honored with her presence. And Mordecai said, you're going to have to go to the king. And you're going to have to speak for your people. Because if you don't, Haman has set a trap to destroy your people, the very people you represent. And don't think that just because you're in the palace, that it won't come nigh unto you. She said, then here's what I'll do. You get the people to pray. And when you get the people to pray and fast, then I'll go in to see the king. And if I perish, then I perish. But I'm going to see the king. And so she goes in to see the king. And as you know the story, the king is ready and waiting for her presence. He's waiting for her arrival. And she has more power with the king than she knew she had. And the king actually wanted to bestow on her, to the half of my kingdom, Esther, belongs to you. You have my favor. And I don't think we realize sometimes how much favor we have with God. Because we look at all the reasons why we should not approach this great big God, this God that seems so big, so powerful, and that we don't understand or we don't always comprehend. And I don't think we realize how much favor we have with God and how much he truly loves us. You know, I love what Miss Terry just said about that when Elisha takes the enemy down to the king, he said, what should we do with him? He said, feed him. You know, the best way to change an enemy from an enemy to a friend is to make them, to change from an enemy is to make them your friend. That's like mind-blowing, isn't it? Simple, but yet powerful. He said, take them down and feed them. And so I'm thankful for the favor that we have with God. I mean, the scripture said that Jesus had favor with God and man. He had favor with God and man. I'm going to switch some things around on Lisa this morning. I gave her scriptures, but I feel to go a different direction. And I don't want to hold you real long this morning because the rain keeps coming down and the floods came up and the rain came down and the floods came up. And hopefully that all of you have a house built on the rock and not on the sand, right? The wise man builds his house on the rock. The foolish man builds his house on the sand. Because guess what? The rains will come. The floods will come. The trick is what the foundation looks like. Amen? Foundational things. But I just felt a sweet presence of the Lord this morning in the house. And since I'm not using my tablet, I'm going to have to use my eyes, my glasses, and put those on. But I wanted to go ahead and bring up Psalms 61 for me. Go ahead and bring up my first scripture there, Lisa, out of Psalms. That's all right. Because we've been doing a series here. I felt the Lord to press upon my heart to do a series. When we're talking about different things that we struggle with in the body of Christ. And, you know, we sometimes think that because we are blood-bought, born-again, spirit-filled believers of God, that we don't have weakness, we don't have struggle, we don't have crisis sometimes in our life, that we don't deal with issues or deal with things. But probably if I ask you to raise your hand, and I won't do that, probably all of us in here could raise our hand at some point and said, yeah, that's me. Rather it be, and we've done a series. If you are interested in the series, we have a website, wodchurch.com. We have a podcast, and the series is called When My Heart is Overwhelmed. And we've dealt with things like depression, anxiety, hopelessness, fear, stress. And so there are just times in your life, whether it be physical, chemical, spiritual, emotional, whatever it is, that we get in a low place or a dry place or a place of weakness or a place where we just feel burnt out or used up, or we feel like we just need something in our life. Anybody been there? Amen. I didn't think I was in a room by myself today, but There are just times in our life, and we shared last Sunday the story, and I love the story about the widow of Zarephath. And it's the story where Elijah comes to her house, and the scripture says that he asked this lady in the middle of her famine to give. You ever had God ask you to give right in the middle of your famine? Whether it be financial famine, whether it be spiritually that you've been called upon and you've been asked to give and you think, Lord, I just don't know if I even have anything to give. You know, sometimes the greatest giving and the greatest challenge sometimes is giving out of our need, not out of our plenty, or not giving out of our abundance. When God requires something of you and you're like, I just don't know, Lord, that I have it to give. Whether it be, you know, money, finances, whatever it is. I can remember stories of my parents talking about, you know, God would lay somebody on their heart to get them a food box and take it to them, only to get the house and find out they probably didn't need it as much as we did. But God spoke, and because he spoke, they were obedient. And because they were obedient, God was faithful to see to it that our pantry. Let me just tell you, I did not starve growing up, as you can tell. I'm a healthy, you know, we ate a lot of green beans and we ate a lot of gravy. But thank God for green beans and gravy. Amen. Because God was faithful to us. But there are times in our life when we feel like, Lord, I have been in a famine myself. I have been in a place where I need something. I need renewing. I need refresh. My barrel is empty. My cruise is dry. And so we get to that place, and the lady, he says to her, go get me a drink of water. And as she's going to get a drink of water in famine, in time of famine, right? He says, and while you're going, bring me a cake, a morsel of a meal. Bring me a cake as well. Would you please, while you're up, get me a cake and a morsel of meal. And see, I love this because she's obedient in the first thing. She turns to go get the drink. And then he says to her while she's going, and bring me a meal as well. And she stops and says, man of God, I have but just a little bit of meal and just a little bit of oil. And I am going to feed my son and we're going to die. That's my prognosis for the day. I am down to my last little bit and I am dying. And my son with me. Now, you know, I've said this before, and as a mom, and I'm sure it's true of dads as well, I can give you my cake. I'll give you my last slice of bread. I'll give you, Lord, what you require. But I don't know if I can give you my babies. I don't know if I can give you my sons. But in her obedience, she turns and she walks away and she goes to that last scrape of the barrel. And she makes him a meal and she gives him a drink. And the scripture says, because of her obedience, her barrel never went empty and her water pot never went dry. What? Until God sent rain upon the earth. See, the trick to this story, I believe, is number one, it's obedience. But number two, he said, Elijah, I want you to go to the widow of Zarephath because I have prepared her to sustain you. I believe her heart was already prepared before the man of God ever came around. That's the only reason I can think of that a mama would give you the last morsel that she has. But see, I love the faithfulness of God that there are times in our life when it seems like when my heart is overwhelmed, when I seem like my barrel is dry, when it seems like my cruise is empty, when I seem like I have been disconnected, when I seem like I've been in a famine, when I seem like I've been in a dry place, when it seems like no matter how much I pump it up, I cannot get a fresh new perspective or a fresh new anointing. But Psalm 61 says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been what? A shelter for me and a strong tower from my enemy, a defender. And all I had to do was praise. And all I had to do was worship. But you've been my strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. Stop and think about that for a minute. I will rest in the covering of your wings, in your protection, under the shadow of your wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Is that the last verse? That will prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. Now, I love that scripture. And that has been one of my favorite scriptures through my life. That when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And there can be a whole lot of things in our life sometimes that overwhelms us. When I think about being overwhelmed, I think about waves that just kind of keep coming in and kind of keep crashing in. You know, and the thing of it is, as long as you can see the wave, a lot of times you can navigate it, right? You know, there are some waves that you kind of got to break through. And when you get past the waves that are right here and get out beyond them a little bit, you can kind of ride the waves and ride the water. But you got to get past where it's breaking, where the water is breaking, where it'll hit you. And so, you know, there's sometimes it seems like it comes on waves and we can kind of time the waves and we can navigate the waves. But it's the wave that you didn't see coming that usually knocks you for the loop, right? That's the one that gets you every time. That's the one that upsets the boat. That's the one that turns you topsy-turvy upside down. I told you the story, Dan and I tried to get in the waves one time, and I think we were at the Outer Banks, and they were choppy, and they were coming, and we thought, you know, we were navigating, and we were watching them, and we must have turned to look at each other for a minute. And when we did, we got hit with a wave, and it rolled both of us upside down. And when we stood up, my hair was flipped to the front of my face. I didn't know if I was going to the north, the south, the east, or the west. I didn't know where he went. I didn't know where I was going. But my world had just for a moment had been turned upside down. You ever been there? You ever had that moment where it just hits you and you feel like my world has just been turned upside down? I looked at him. I said, I don't know about you, but I'm done swimming today. I think I've had my fill of the swim. I'm done, you know. And so I love this scripture, and you know, we use the Psalm of 77, Psalm of Asaph quite a bit, and it talks about, I cried to the Lord in the night, and I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. I can just pretty much promise you that if what's coming out of your mouth is complaining and grumbling and murmuring, your spirit is going to be overwhelmed, right? But you can come in when my heart is crying out and begin to sing the songs and the praises of the Lord and feel a shift and feel a change in your heart and in your mind and in your circumstances. Amen? Yeah. When Saul was troubled with an evil spirit, he said, find me somebody who's cunning on the music. Find me somebody who's a worshiper. Find me somebody who knows the power of a harp. And when David would come into the presence of Saul and he was tormented and he was angry and he was struggling, David would come in with the harp and he would start to play the sound of the harp. And he would start to play some praise and worship, and atmosphere start to change. I want you to know this morning that when you come into the presence of the Lord, and I don't know if you felt it this morning, but as the music starts to flow, atmosphere start to change. My concept of what I'm doing starts to change. It sometimes takes you a song or two to get your mind plugged in and get in the groove, and all of a sudden you start singing like things like, how great is our God? Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. And when I start singing about how great he is, I start realizing that everything that I have been struggling and pondering and worrying over is small in comparison to how great my God is. And something jumps up inside of me and something comes alive inside of me. And I got to throw one hand up without wrath and one hand without doubt and say, I'm going to lift up my voice. I'm going to sing praise and worship to God. And while I'm worshiping at the throne, he is dispensing angels on my behalf. Do you believe it this morning that when you start to lift your hand and your voice, I'm going to tell you, if you're sitting here today and you got family out there somewhere that you want God to get a hold of, the best way for you to do it is start lifting up your voice in praise and worship and say, Holy Spirit, do your thing. Go get them. Hallelujah. Go visit them. Visit them in their dreams, in their night, in their car, in their lunchbox. I don't care, but show up in their life somewhere and let them feel the power of your Holy Spirit in your presence. Because that's what I feel like when I come together in corporate worship, that I'm standing with the host of heaven, lifting up my voice and declaring how great he is, and that angels are dispensed on our behalf. Hallelujah. And so we begin to change atmospheres by changing. And if you read Psalm 77, you realize by the end of it, he said, but then I remembered my song in the night. And instead of singing gloom, despair, and agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. This probably only relates to half of you in here today because that's a hee-haw song. The rest of you probably never heard it. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. They used to sing, right? Any hee-haw fans remember that song? All right. And so what they would sing is gloom and despair and agony. But then the songwriter in Psalm 77, but then I remembered my song in the night. I changed my tune. Anybody ever had to change your tune? Had to change your atmosphere, change your stinking thinking, change the way you focus on things. And when we change the way we perceive it, we change the way we attack it, we change the way we look at it, we realize that God's got it. And all we got to do is trust him with it. Now, trust is a big word. It's a what, five-letter word? It's a five-letter word. But it's a big thing, right? To be able to truly say, God, I trust you with my marriage, I trust you with my kids. I trust you with my bank account, with my finances. I trust you with my health. I trust you with the health of those that I love. I trust you with every area of my life to do the miraculous, to touch and to move and to operate. I just want to read this morning out of Psalms chapter 91. We talked about the covering of his wings. And Psalms 91 is one of my favorite scriptures. It's one of my mom's favorite scriptures, one of the first scriptures I can remember my mom quoting and ministering on and speaking on. So it's always been special to me. But Psalms 91, when we talk about the covering of his wings, he said that I can trust in the covert or the covering of your wings. I loved Hannah's demonstration this morning when she had her dad come forward and he gathered her in. Because when I think about the scripture in Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If I want to hang out in any shadows, I want to hang out in the shadow of the Almighty. That means he's got me totally engulfed. He's got me covered. Under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord what? He is my refuge. He is my fortress. My God, in him will I put my trust. He is my refuge, my fortress. He is my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You know, we talk about the noisome pestilence. Let's stop there for just a minute. And in the scripture of Psalms, the 23rd Psalm, everybody know the 23rd Psalm, right? Probably of all the scriptures we know, we probably know that one. But I love the scripture of the 23rd Psalm because it's written and spoken from the heart of a shepherd. And if you ever understand how powerfully connected a shepherd is to his sheep, you will greatly understand the 23rd Psalm even more powerfully. But it says, he anoints my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. The reason that they anoint the head of the sheep is from the noisome pestilence, the annoying bugs. Because there's something called nose flies that will attack sheep. And when they do, the nose flies, they are a little bug that will get on the head of the sheep. They actually get in their nose and get in their ears. And the sound of the buzzing of those noisome pestilence will aggravate them so bad that a sheep will literally throw itself off the cliff to get the buzzing and the sound that's in their head to stop. Did you ever have anything bug you? You ever have nose flies? There's just some things that will get in your head and it will buzz and it will talk and it will make noises to it. Literally will drive you crazy. It will let the things that we let get in our head sometimes that cause disturbances in our mind, in our thoughts, and in our, it causes imaginations, and it causes us to get so overwhelmed by things sometimes that it literally will drive a sheep crazy. So what a good shepherd would do, he would anoint their head with oil. He would put an ointment, an essential oil, on the head of a sheep, and it would keep the nose flies away so that they're not tormented by the things that would get in their ears, get in their eyes, and get in their nose and drive them crazy. Makes me think of them little gnats we have here in the summertime. You know, when you go to sit outside or you want to mow the grass and them flies just swarm your head. And I say all the time, if they ever wanted any kind of top secret information out of me, disclosure, I know no top secret information. But if they ever wanted any out of me, put me in a room with those flies. I'll tell you anything you want to know. Because they literally will drive you crazy. They get in your ears. They get in your nose. You open your mouth to say something. You suck one down your throat. They bite you. They leave big welts. But do you know there are some oils like tea tree oils and things like that that you can put on that are insect repellents? Do you know that in the incense of the tabernacle there was something called galbanum that they would put in there, and it was a insect repellent that would keep the flies away. It would keep the insects away. How many know Beelzebub was Lord of the flies? But God took care of that at the cross of Calvary. He anointed our head with oil, the anointing of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. So anoint your head that everything that has to pass through your mind, your will, and your emotions must first pass through the anointing that's on your head. Can somebody say amen? All of those thoughts that want to come into my mind, that want to drive me crazy, they must first pass through the anointing that my shepherd anoints my head with, so that the noisome pestilence won't drive me crazy. And verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Now, when we think about he'll cover you with his feathers, it's a picture of the mercy seat. And without a lot of time this morning to explain to you what the mercy seat, it was the piece of furniture in the most holy place in the tabernacle of Moses, and it was where the presence of God resided. When God would visit with them in the wilderness, he would come and sit in a mercy seat, and it was blood sprinkled. I mean, are thankful that there's a blood-sprinkled mercy seat this morning, that we can trust what's up underneath of his wings. And when I see that picture, it says he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wing, I see the wings of God, the wings of the cherubim, the host of heaven, just wrapping itself around you this morning and saying, I got you covered. I got you protected. You are under my wings. I've paid for everything that you've ever faced, every sin, sickness, poverty, disease has been bought and paid for with my blood at the cross of Calvary. And I believe that we can cash in on that today. That we can cash in on that today. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, for the arrow that flieth by day. You don't have to put up with night terrors. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. I believe we can quote these scriptures over us. I believe we can quote these scriptures over our house. I believe we can declare the word of the Lord, what the word says over our house and over our dwelling. Verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Do you believe this morning that there are angels that are assigned in charge of you? He said, I'm going to give angels charge over you to keep you in all of thy ways. The host of heaven stands at attention, I believe. Hallelujah. To keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, and the adder. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore, while I deliver him, I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. You know, we sang the song this morning, the worship team sang the song, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And, you know, we sometimes think, well, that chain is, you know, we're talking about addictions, or we're talking about, you know, and it can be that. I absolutely believe God can break the chain of addiction. I believe God can break the chains of whatever it is. But it can be a train. It can be suicidal thoughts. It can be depression, oppression. It can be sickness. It can be disease. It can be despair. It can be whatever it is that you are thinking that's holding you back from everything that God wants to do in your life that bring the bounty and the blessings of God to you. That the power of Jesus is not something that just hits you when you come to church. It's something that works from the inside out. It's the very presence of God that's inside of you. See, in the Old Testament, God was in a tent and he was in a box. But he came along in the New Testament and said, I and my Father, we're going to come and take up our abode in you. We're going to live in you. We're going to live through you so that you can have life and have it more, what? Abundantly. I don't believe we have to live a life that's not an abundant life. I don't think we have to settle for less than all that Jesus purposed for us to live in. I don't think that we're weary pilgrims passing through. I don't think we have to live in a mentality that says one more valley, one more hill. But we can stand up and declare that what the word says of us is true. I said the scripture a couple weeks ago that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Do you know how powerful your thoughts are? If you think you're defeated, guess what? If you think you're weak, guess what? If you think you're worthless, guess what? If you think nobody likes you, guess what? So what happens is we've got to change how we think. Because we think a whole lot of things, and our thoughts come from, we give ear to people who should not even be speaking into our lives sometimes. You know, I had to ask myself this question a couple weeks ago. What do I care about that opinion? See, my Father's opinion is way more powerful. It's way more important to me than somebody else's opinion of who I am or what I do. Amen? And there's just times when you got to say, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am anointed and appointed. I am salt. I am light. I'm an overcomer. I'm important. I am purposed. I have position. I have calling in my life. And regardless of what anybody else sees, I am who I am by the grace of God. He has called me. He has chosen me. He has anointed me. He has sent me. And we got to quit giving weight to the voices of people that don't know our assignment. Come on, that's a noisome pestilence. People who don't know your assignment aren't going to understand your calling. How many know David did a lot of running in the wilderness before he ever sat on the throne? Because Saul was jealous over David. He didn't understand, but Saul had a son named Jonathan. He said, you know what, David? You're the next king. See, I love when people can identify and recognize and say, you know what? That's not my anointing. But I can flow with you in your anointing, because that's what God has, what your assignment is. And we don't have to be jealous of one another's assignment, because what you've been called to do, guess what? I probably can't do. And what I've been called to do, maybe you can't do. But man, when we all flow together, how powerful of a unit we can be when every joint supplies, every talent comes together. Some have business minded, some have medical minded, some have teaching abilities, some have musical abilities, some have speaking abilities. Whatever it is that God has placed in you, let him develop that and walk in who he's called you to be, and quit comparing yourself to somebody else. I can't be who you are. See, when David came in to fight the giant, nobody else wanted to fight him, right? David's a little small guy. He just comes up to bring the lunch. See, that's how I know how powerful kitchen ministry is. All of you who work in our kitchen hospitality ministry, what a powerful team they are down there. I'm telling you, some of the finest are in that kitchen prophesying, ministering, praying over people that are coming through there. Because if you get a muffin or a piece of chocolate pie, or you get something and you sit down with a coffee and you start to interact with people and get the power. See, I know Jesus fed multitudes because somebody brought 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? But when he comes to bring lunch to the brother, and the giant stands up and says, send somebody out to fight me. And they all sat there in fear and terror. You know why? Because they had been in a crowd where everybody was afraid and everybody's talking defeat. Can I just tell you, if the crowd you're in is talking defeat and despair, you need to find another crowd. The reason David had a different mentality is because he just came from keeping sheep on the backside of the desert and writing scriptures and psalms like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And he goes up to fight the giant. And he says, I'll fight him. And his brother said, go home, David. You're too little, you're too young. Basically, they said, and you're too nosy. David said, no, I'll fight him. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Saul, the mighty man, the man of God for the hour, the king, says, send him in here. And I'm going to put my armor on him. I'm going to put my helmet on him. I'm going to put my breastplate on him. I'm going to put my feet stuff on him. I'm going to give him my sword. I'm going to give him my shield. And he brings David in and he dresses him up to look like Saul. And guess what? He sets him up for disaster. David is walking around a small young man. It'd be like Liam trying to wear armor that Monty was supposed to wear. It just ain't gonna happen. And as a matter of fact, it's going to cause him more harm than it's going to make him do good, because now he's got obstacles in his way besides the giant. And while he's trying to walk around and everything that Saul has just put on him, and he's clinging and clanging and looking like Saul dressed up in a little boy, David said, I can't do this. I cannot be Saul. I cannot be you. And hey, Saul, if it's all about the armor, you put it on. If the armor was what it was, see, it's not so much about the armor as it is about the heart. God just sees your heart. He believes in you more than you believe in yourself. He believes in me more than I believe in me. And he said, if it was about the armor, anybody could have put it on. He said, I've got to do it the way God sent me to do it. I got to stay in my assignment. And David goes to fight the giant. And he goes with a slingshot and 5 smooth stones. He said, because when a bear came after the sheep, I smote the bear. And when a lion came after the sheep, I smote the sheep. And I will do the same thing to this uncircumcised Philistine. You know, sometimes you got to look at not how big the giant is. You got to tell the giant how big your God is. And you got to stay in your assignment. You got to know that you are covered with his feathers. You know that you are anointed and appointed. You know that even in the midst of fear, or when we come overwhelmed by life in whatever means, that I can go to the rock, Because there's a rock who's higher than I. See, it wasn't even the power. David used a rock to kill the giant. But there's a rock that the builder rejected that has become the chief cornerstone. The rock that we can fall on. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Lead me to something solid that's not shaky ground, that my trust and my hope can be in you. Hallelujah. Wherever you are today in your life, stand with me this morning. Beth's going to get ready to come. Wherever you are today in your life, find your assignment and stay in your assignment. Don't be overwhelmed by what this one is doing or that one was doing. What is God speaking to you? What is God declaring in your life? What is He stirring in your heart? Even today, right here in this service. Maybe you felt God pull. Maybe you felt the tug of the Holy Spirit on your heart. And you don't even know how to respond to it. And my response to you would be, say, Lord, here am I. Let your will be done in my life. And we let go of the wheel. And we let Jesus take the wheel. Amen. We let God take over. We let Him be the navigator. We let Him lead. See, we always say God's my co-pilot. It's not the co-pilot. He's in charge of the ship. Hallelujah. So in charge of the ship that when it was going to go down and the disciples said, Master, don't you care if we perish? He said, peace be still. He can speak peace into your life today and guide and direct you like nobody can. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you've never accepted Him, I want to open the altar. I want you to, if you want to come forward and pray, we'd be glad to pray with you. If you need special prayer, if there's something we can pray with you this morning, the altar's open as Beth sings this morning, and we wait for the kids to come in.